Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and I've got my NPR voice today.
I see.
You like that? Is that sexy?
You can give us the recipe for your sweaty balls.
Am I? I just might need that. Anyway, welcome
great.
Every...
Super. Okay.
Anyway.
This is the Colonel.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the History Dweebs. Today's topic is the family that slays together, the story of the Bloody Benders, who are believed to be America's first serial killers that haunted a prairie back in 18...
It's a haunted prairie?
Well, I don't know what they did, but they killed people back in the 1870s. There was a family who... we're not really sure about this, but we're sure they killed people.
Long distance dedication today, going out.
Okay.
So, do we know anything about these motherfuckers?
Really not. I mean, it's...
Jesus, Tim!
It's kind of mixed. I mean, the story is mixed with legend and
get somebody from research up here right now.
Seriously.
Someone from research is here.
Fire them all.
So
off with that.
So yeah, it's hard to do a little bit, you know, fact checking on some of the stuff.
Well, in fairness, I got to take a little bit of responsibility for this because we were going to do the Scottsboro Boys, and I watched a documentary on it, and I did not realize it until after I put the whole thing together that they was hobos.
They were not hobos. They were just on a train.
No, they was hobos, Timmy.
They were traveling on a
they
train.
They were gandy dancers.
They was hobos.
Just because you're on a train does not make you a hobo.
Timmy, there was hobos. Read the story.
There
was hobos.
I did. I wrote the story.
The two women that said they got raped, they said they was hobos.
I'm going to that fucking hobo convention in Iowa in August.
Well, that was the whole thing. Because I was like, hold on. First of all, if you're a hobo, you got to accept a rape and come with being a hobo.
No.
Every show we ever done... with hobos, they raping people.
You realize you just gave away our next topic, our
and
next story.
Besmirched.
You put it on the page.
And you besmirched hobos.
Yeah, don't be fucking with hobos. Hobos are not, just because someone's a hobo, don't make them a rapist. And just
every
because
podcast
you're a rapist,
we've done.
And just because you're a wrestler does not make you.
All right.
Every podcast we ever done with hobos.
Please get through the introduction.
Well, anyway, I thought it was about homos. Then I had to rewrite the whole...
Homos or hobos?
Homos.
And
I had to rewrite the whole story.
Anyway, we will be doing the Scottsboro Boys next. It is a more serious topic, but so we decided...
More serious, motherfuckers? We're getting killed here, Timmy. How could you get...
We're going to do Bloody Benders. I know, but, you know, it's a more... it's a heavier subject. And so we are going to cover that next time. But today it's Friday afternoon. We don't feel like getting into anything really heavy, so we're going to cover the Bloody Benders. So, with your permission, we will.
So screw you guys and what you wanted. We're doing what we want to do.
We will do the Scottsboro Boys next time. I promise. Okay, let me introduce my panel. I'm really going to give Brandy a nice introduction because
I never ever get one.
We went to lunch together today.
Did she buy us something? You owe?
No.
No, don't be crazy.
Don't be crazy.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But we did go to lunch together today. So I want to introduce the very talented, the very lovely, the really a woman who has a huge following now, of fans all over the world. And I'm proud to call her a colleague, and that is our good friend, Brandy. Welcome, Brandy.
What the fuck?
Thank you, Tim. Oh, my gosh.
You guys make out or something at lunchtime? What the hell?
She would have lunch with me. You
don't have lunch with people.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, you're kind of a dick.
You need to work on that.
The Colonel is a solitary man. I'm a lone wolf.
No, you're not a lone wolf. You're not a wolf pack of one. You're not a lone wolf.
A lone wolf.
No.
It's a team of one.
No, none of those things are true. Tim and I had a lovely lunch at 10 o'clock this morning.
Well, see, I get up early. I get up very early.
They ain't even serving hamburgers at McDonald's when you want to go to lunch.
Well, I get up very early, so I'm ready for lunch at 11 o'clock. And Brandy was
not
nice.
Not 11:01.
Brandy, no, not 11:01. I'm proud to say we were the first one at the restaurant.
Yes,
we were first one at BW3's today. We got right in.
They didn't have a grill.
They did not have a grill. I was disappointed. And we did not get to talk to our experienced captain.
No, our experienced captain was not at the helm today.
Yeah, or we would have
raised
the matter of the absence of a grill.
But, yes, I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, but anyway, I'd also like to introduce the very debonair, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the very honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing wonderful, Timmy. I'm doing wonderful.
He didn't call you the face of ED today.
He did not.
Or mention your bloody stool.
Did not.
I'm turning over a new page. I'm trying to be nice to you guys.
Okay, well, we appreciate that.
I call bullshit.
I call bullshit on that, too. I think there's some malarkey going on there, but...
Well,
hooliganism.
Hooliganism. Yeah, tell me a hooligan.
No, it's Friday. I'm happy the weekend's here. It's lovely weather, so I'm in a good mood. I'm not going to call you the face of erectile dysfunction.
You just did.
Or the face of bloody stool.
Feels a little douche nozzly to me. I don't know.
I am not...
No, that don't count. That don't count. Totally that don't count as one.
You know, you can't make it the secret word if you announce when the secret word is said.
No, it don't count.
You can't yell it doesn't count.
See, if we was going to do the Scottsboro boys, I had it all set up. It was going to be they got accused of putting their tallywhackers where the douche nozzle's supposed to go.
Here's the thing.
Well, we're going to do them on Monday.
I
so
just
you
used it
waited.
In a sentence.
No, because by that time they give us another secret word.
Well, yeah. It's not a secret word now, is it?
No, and we were supposed to be subtle about it. So
I was subtle.
Yeah, she was subtle. You wasn't so subtle.
Yeah.
I said in the rules you can't call somebody the name to satisfy the...
No.
I did. I put it in writing. It's on the page.
Colonel, do we have any shout-outs?
We do have some shout-outs. Mike Bertzel, thanks for joining the group. I appreciate you having you on board. I'd like to touch on something that's a little bit sensitive still for me, Tim.
Please don't.
Talk about your penis.
I'm going to give a shout-out. That's very sensitive to me. Did you see where Ted Cruz came out against masturbation?
I did see that, yeah.
Ted Cruz is a product of masturbation.
And you know what I say to me?
What?
They can stop me from masturbating when they pry my pecker out of my cold, dead hands.
Jesus.
So that means you're pro-masturbation.
I'm pro-masturbation, Timmy.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Nobody can love the Colonel like the Colonel.
Yes, that's...
But, you know, female masturbation is a direct path to
Satan.
Well,
yeah, sure. I mean, that's a different thing. When you're ringing the devil doorbell,
yeah,
it's just a different matter altogether.
Yeah.
But,
any other shout-outs?
I got lots of shout-outs. And okay. Another sensitive thing, I'm going to give a shout-out to Lee and Emily.
Okay.
Two people who...
hated your singing?
Hated my singing.
Man, I don't blame them.
And I'm just going to show...
Awful.
...that in this whole scenario, the Colonel, the bigger man, and I'm going to give you a shout-out.
You know, you're big, all right.
I know.
Well, I appreciate you listening.
Have you seen these pants he's wearing? Jesus, dress left much?
Huge comes the word that comes to mind to me.
Well, keep your eyes above my waist and huge won't come
there
to your mind.
No.
So anyway, Lee and Emily, who hated the Colonel singing and actually...
Hate the Colonel.
Kind of made the Colonel cry.
Well.
But we still appreciate you. And today is going to be a song-free day.
No singing today.
Just for you two. I'm not going to sing.
Thank you.
I put on the
but
the
you
webpage,
realize we had other people, but it wasn't just those two. We had some formal complaints of your singing.
That
and I want to apologize because I was the one encouraging him the colonel to do that.
Don't apologize. The singing was fine.
No, it wasn't. It was really bad.
It was horrible.
Well, I had been to the Bruce concert the night before. I was a little bit hoarse. I could barely talk.
Yeah, that's what made all the difference was the hoarse.
Yeah, you had her.
No, because if I wanted to break into a BG tune right now.
Yeah, but you're not.
Well, I'm not going to, because today is Funkadelic Friday.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's
it's Fibromyalgia Friday.
It is Fibromyalgia Friday.
Yeah. I got some pain.
Yeah. We're all wearing chartreuse ribbons.
Yeah.
For
Fibromyalgia Friday.
And so anyway, my shout outs. Let me get on with the list. Lee and Emily, sorry we ruined the podcast with the singing, but the Colonel, as I said, is known in certain circles as the Pavarotti of podcasts.
Yeah,
it's a certain circle of one.
So anyway, let's give some shout outs to some of the regulars. Now, Tara, we'll just give you a shout out. I'm going to leave it at that.
Go through the list.
I'm going to say back.
We don't have to. Go through the list.
Here's a shame because when I say Backdoor Buttercup, everybody know who I'm talking about, and I ain't even got to say Brittany's name, but. There you go.
Wow. Brittany, that's brutal. I'm sorry, Brittany.
Chris, we love you for putting up with the crazy-ass little girl. Teresa Slavin, thank you for watching. Maggie?
For watching.
Did she watch Rudy
YouTube
on the
fucking channel?
She got on Rudy.
Dog.
And everybody loves Rudy. So shut your dirty mouth.
It's great.
Shut your dirty
15 seconds.
Shut that douche nozzle.
It's the best 15 seconds on YouTube.
Yeah, we were going to try to work on that talking over each other.
Yeah, well. Okay, Allie, you psychotic winch, you. We enjoy every comment you make, but you're a psycho. Jennifer, shout out to you. Amy Carroll and Missy and Rebecca. Of course, you know, I know somebody else bored her on the crazy, too. And I love when she posts. Anytime she posts something, I always jump and read it. It's Trixie.
Yeah, I like Trixie. She's
Trixie
cool.
Just damn crazy. Jim, the medieval torturer.
Mm-hmm.
Basil.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Baron,
I'm sorry. I got a friend, Jim Basil. He don't listen.
No, you don't.
Now, Lisa Yakis, I'm going to give you a shout-out even before I see you with the skyline, but I want to see a picture of you holding the skyline, can you? Oh, the Colonel now. All right. Who else we got? Now, we got Charlie. You know, are you friends with Charlie on Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll watch your page. Now,
I don't watch her page.
I said something about redheads one time. You ever look at a page? And I said something about redheads one time.
She's got a lot of redheads.
Oh, a whole slew of redheads. But she got some good-looking kids.
Yeah,
that woman has some good-looking kids.
Yes.
Speaking of redheads, the meanest, the evilest, the foulest redhead that follows us. Who would you say that would be, Timmy?
I don't know. You're going to tell us.
Dottie.
Mean, evil, foul, ill-tempered, on Team Brandy.
My mom doesn't have red hair.
Kim Taylor.
Kim Taylor, yes.
Hello to you, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Be nice to me once in a while, for the love of God.
You don't have to.
Celine, how you doing? Mary Ray, Stephanie finally got a damn name straight. Stephanie Quick.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Glad you clean. Amber. It's nice to see Amber on the page when we see her.
Right.
I'm trying to think, did I leave it? Because I'm doing this off the top of the Colonel's head now. Did I leave anybody off?
Eric? Yeah.
And Erica?
Erica. Brandy. The other Brandy. Bree. So if we missed Mary Ray. If we missed anyone, we're sorry.
Mary Ray.
Missy.
I got Missy.
Okay. And Brandy. We have a sponsor?
Well, yeah. We have, well,
yeah.
I just got an order from my girlfriend who works with a company called Perfectly Posh. Lots of lotions for men and women, all natural, paraffin free.
For masturbating?
I don't know.
I can tell you, I used just a drop of that lotion and it'll last. A little goes a long, long way.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sure she appreciates.
And your hands are silky smooth after.
Sure, she appreciates
the plug. It's a win-win.
Sure. So you can go to poshmylife.com, poshmylife.com.
And P-O-S-H.
P-O-S-H, and order from Tracy. Everything's under $25. It's really great stuff. Go have a look around.
Yes.
Does she sell the vibrators and whatnot, too, on a different party?
No.
No, it's not a sex toy operation. They sell...
What, they sell lubricants? Cream.
Well, they don't sell lubricants, you dick.
They sell creams. Well, that
they stuff sell lotion. Come in,
yeah, the lotion. What do you use?
Well,
I don't care if I got ashy elbows.
We've noticed.
Yeah, but I do, you know...
Right.
You want some lotion now and again.
You care if you've got an ashy penis.
You wanna, I do you, not have an ashy penis.
You want to feel pretty all over.
No, I just want to feel pretty from the waist to the knees, Timmy.
All right. So let's talk about...
So grossed out right now.
Let's get into the topic, shall we?
Please.
The people have waited long enough for this nonsense. The Bloody Benders. Okay.
Okay.
That's our topic.
Okay. You covered
you
that.
You called it.
Yeah. Let's just recap.
It's your, yeah. Thank God we did that because I forgot.
The Bloody Benders are a family of serial killers who own a small general store and inn in Osage Township, Labette County, Kansas, from 1872 to 1873. The inn was a dingy little place called the Wayside Inn.
Oh, not the Dewdrop.
No, the Wayside.
They do enjoy a good
Dewdrop.
The
Dewdrop,
yeah.
No one is really, as I mentioned before, we think these folks were family, but no one is really sure. They were a strange lot, but there were four of them. But we'll get into all that. The family, this family, I'm using air quotes here, consisted of John Bender, his wife Kate, their son John Jr., and
JJ.
Their daughter, Kate. So mom is Kate and the daughter.
Kate Jr.?
Yeah, I guess.
JJ
but,
KJ.
But the wife went by Ma.
Of course she did.
And the dad went by?
Paul.
Yeah. Paul and Ma Bender and their son, John Jr., and daughter, Kate. Okay? JJ. These are the four. While most people believe John and Kate were brother and sister, the two were known to have had a more intimate relationship.
Grossed out by that.
And some people believe that they were actually man and wife, or at least...
maybe they were both.
Maybe.
So they were brother and sister, man and wife. Or
either, we don't know.
It's family reunion.
Either way, there was bumping uglies in the Wayside.
That's the rumor. Now,
okay.
This was following the American Civil War, of course. The United States were... had moved the Osage, I think I'm pronouncing this right.
Osage,
yeah.
Indians from Labette County to the new Indian Territory.
The old what?
The what?
They moved the...
Did he just call them Indians?
Yeah, or indent.
Indent?
They moved the Native Americans from this county in Kansas to the new Indian Territory located in what was now Oklahoma. Okay, so...
Oklahoma.
And no singing. So the...
still sounds better than Chuck.
The this land in Kansas became vacant because they moved, you know, they forced all the Native Americans off the land.
It was foretold.
Yeah. So then it became available to homesteaders, right? So in October of 1870, five families of spiritualists settled in western Labette County, Kansas. 7 miles northeast of where Sherryville is today.
Oh,
well, you know Sherryville.
I do.
All right. Spiritualists were unknown in the Old West at the time, so they were rare, and their presence caused alarm to the local settlers. It was seen as an occult, or a cult. And
like the Mormons.
I'm not going to go
there. Do not rip on my tribe.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. After a few months of life on the prairie and the high temperatures out there in Kansas and the plains.
It gets hot out there.
Yeah. And the hardship. The families, all but the Benders, moved away. So the Benders were the only family of spiritualists who stuck around.
But there was other families.
There were other families, but not of this call, this spiritualist call.
Yeah.
So the Benders stuck around, and they registered 160 acres of land adjacent to the Great Osage. Is that what we call it? The Wolverine Trail.
I believe that particular one they're calling Osage.
Okay, that sounds Japanese.
Either way, Osage.
Okay, but anyway, the trail out there, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a trail that the settlers used to move.
Believe that
to move. Out west, right? They had to go on this trail, one of the few trails out there in Kansas.
Never been on a trail.
Well,
never been on a trail either.
Right, well, if you get a chance, go.
I've rung a bell.
I don't know what that means. But anyway, they went out to this. They had this little store, and they had this little hotel, I guess, on this trail.
Was it the Bates Motel?
So it was a convenient place for settlers moving west to stop and, you know, freshen up their horses and whatever they do. You know, have a place, have a roof over their head for the night.
Are those people that have settled for direct or settled for cable?
Yeah, they may be. They may be. So after building a cabin and a barn and a corral in the fall of 1871, Mallbender and her daughter Kate arrived in the cabin, and they divided the cabin into two rooms using
everybody needs their privacy.
A canvas wagon cover.
There was a lot of doing it in there, I'm thinking. Yeah. So they really do need their privacy.
Well, the cabin
their privacy.
Okay. Now, here's what I don't get.
If the cabin's rocking, don't be
knocking. Yeah, if the cabin is knocking. But you gotta, they got the hotel there, but they got to share one room. Couldn't they just
what they did, they used the smaller room at the rear of the building for their living quarters, and then the front of the room they converted into the general store and inn. So I don't guess you had a lot of room there. I mean, you're not staying at a Holiday Inn Express. I mean, it was pretty limited. They had a lot of customers because it was one of the few places on the trail that they could buy, you know, where the people could buy supplies and have a room for the night. The Prairie Bender store, the Wayward Inn, is said to be was said to be only 100 yards south of the trail, so it was right on the trail. Not 100 yards south of the trail.
Did they
a football field long?
Did they have south. A saloon?
I don't know if they served adult beverages or not. I don't know.
Because I would think if you had a saloon, you'd have to have whores.
I don't think that that's a requirement.
So.
But
I think it is a requirement.
We'll get into that because Kate, the young girl, was very attractive, and she would entice
Was she a whore?
Well, we don't know if she was a whore, but she certainly would use her wiles.
She was certainly slutty.
And to entice men to stay at the inn. But anyway.
Well, most women do that anyway. That don't make them whores.
The location, as I said, of the inn made it the homestead a good overnight resting spot for travelers. Anyway, according to published reports, these would be reports that were published somewhere.
Correct.
The Benders operated this lonely little inn, the Wayward Inn, and store, surrounded by wide-open prairie between the winter of 1871 and the spring of 1873.
I like the dewdrop in better. We should call
it
that from now on.
Yeah.
So let me tell you a little bit about the Bender family.
Please do.
Thank you. John Bender Sr., also known as Pa,
Big Bender,
was around 60 years old.
Don't we know this stuff already?
He was around 60 years old, so he was getting almost eligible for Social Security, wasn't he, Colonel?
He can probably get an ARP card.
And this is where we're going to have some problems later on. I'm going to tell you something about the story, but they didn't have the New Deal yet.
Oh.
They didn't even have Okies yet.
They didn't have an old deal.
They didn't even have an old deal.
No, they didn't even have an old deal.
Well, let me tell you about him.
Tell us, Tim.
Thank you, Brandy. When he spoke in a real deep voice, and it was usually unintelligible. I mean, much like the Colonel here.
Oh, no, okay, Mr. Kettle.
Right.
Mallbender, that would be Kate Sr.
Yes.
I bet she had big, saggy boobs.
Ew.
Yeah, I wonder how often she changed drawers.
Oh, they had those petticoats back then, too.
Yeah.
What was those underwear?
Oh, you know she had the 1870 bush, too.
Oh, my God.
Went all the way down halfway to her thigh.
Yeah.
Well, hell, by that time, her breasts was going all the way down to her thighs.
I hope your mother hears you. Nasty.
His mom can't hear him. She's dead.
Well, she's dead.
My
yes.
mom is dead. I
yeah.
can say.
Mallbender was allegedly spoke very little English. Or that's what they believe. But later on, they found out that she was
she spoke it just fine.
Fluent.
Yeah. She was around 42 years of age and was unfriendly. So unfriendly that her neighbors took to calling her She Devil. So she was the Brandy sort of the Bender family.
Yeah, she was Brandy Bender.
Andy Bender. Shortly before the Benders, who would flee, they we'll get to that in a moment, they took off, they hit the road,
Jack.
It was discovered that Maul spoke fluent English. Now, John Bender Jr. was around 25 years... JJ was around 25 years old. He was handsome with auburn hair, a mustache. He spoke spoke some English with a heavy German accent. He was prone to laughing aimlessly, which led to many to consider him a half-wit. Yeah. Wow. Now, the daughter, Kate, the hot one, she was around 23. Prime.
That's about your age range.
Yeah.
Now, a little too old, isn't it?
She was cultivated and attractive and spoke very good English.
Cultivated?
Yeah.
And had cultivated for what?
Yeah, just
what the hell? How about
reading what it says?
What if it said cultured?
Yeah,
I mean, because if you cultivate something, that's different.
She was like very good English, unlike you.
Yes, yes. I'm the one that fucked up that word.
And had a little, had very little accent. Now, Kate was interesting. Besides,
she still had the 1870 bush, though.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Maybe she shaved.
I can't imagine.
Yes, with
now,
a straight
back then
razor.
He had to use a straight razor.
Well, she was a self-proclaimed healer and psychic.
So, no, there was no shaving going on.
No, her armpits were
hairy. She was a gypsy.
Yeah.
She distributed flyers advertising her supernatural powers and the ability to cure illnesses, conduct seances, and also gave lectures on spiritualization, for which she gained notoriety for advocating free love. So she was a whore.
She was a hippie, too.
She was a whore.
Well, no, free love, I guess, would not be a whore. She's a slut. I advocate free
trollop,
love, too.
I suppose.
I
mean, how would we describe the devil over here? Trollop?
I don't want to, you know, I'm being nice today. She was very popular.
Very nice. What's with you all
of course she was very popular.
She was very popular, mm-hmm. and she got a large attraction of people. She attracted a lot of people coming to the Bender Inn.
She was giving away more bush than the forest, I guess.
The Bender Inn.
Although.
Instead of calling it the Bender Inn, they started calling it the Bender Over.
Although the elder Benders, Maul and Paul,
Dewdrop,
Maul and Paul, you know, John Bender Sr. and Brandy Bender.
What?
They kept to themselves.
Brandy Bender.
She was a she-devil in a war.
She was a she-devil.
It seems apt.
Kate and her brother, you know, the half-wit, regularly attended Sunday school.
Wasn't his name Chuck?
Regularly attended Sunday school in nearby Harmony Grove.
He was banging the hot one.
Now, the Benders were widely believed to be German immigrants. However, only the male Benders were born overseas, and they were not actually the Bender. They were not actually the Bender family. Paul Bender was from Germany or Holland, and was born with the name John Flickeninger. Flickeninger.
I'm sorry.
John Flickeninger Schmidt.
Flickeninger.
His name is my name too.
Maul Bender was born Elmira Milk, and she was born in.
Hold on.
They took aliases.
Hold on.
Kinda.
Now
she took the name, her married name of George Griffith. She was married before. She had 12 children. Maul did.
Good guy. She was prolific at childbirth.
Oh God! Not only did she have the bush, that thing. She probably looked like she got hit with an axe down there.
Hey, you know what though? 12 kids. Somebody was hitting that stuff all the time.
Well, yeah.
It must have been good.
Yeah, it was. It was her first husband, George Griffith.
After four kids, you could accidentally just slip into it.
Maul allegedly married several
times.
That's
how they killed him.
You need a douche noozle. Maul.
douche noozle.
Maul.
Did you just say douche noozle?
Yes. If you don't know what one is, I guess you have to look it up.
Maul allegedly married several times. Each time following the death of her previous husband from head injuries.
Well, yeah, you can't do it while they're still alive. People frown on that.
I'm guessing they were down there. They were, you know, her husbands were down there between her legs, pleasuring her, and then she's had a seizure or something
with a hammer.
You know, if you had 12 kids. The douche nozzle you would need would have to have like safety harnesses on the side.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to
disappear from.
You at least want to take a flare with you.
One of those
some bread crumbs. Some bread crumbs or some shit.
A canary just makes sure.
Okay. So anyway, Kate was the fifth child of Maulbender and was born as Eliza Griffith. So I don't know why they call her Kate then.
Well,
following her marriage, Kate went by the name of Sarah Eliza Davis.
No, that clearly that
now,
makes sense.
John Jr. was born John Gilphart. So see, these people, we don't even know if they were ever married. That's why, I mean, they were ever related. Some of the Benders' neighbors claim that John and Kate, as I mentioned, were not brother and sisters.
Plus eight.
But they were actually husband and wife. Kate was very beautiful and outgoing. Men were immediately attracted to the tall, fair-haired beauty and became quite enamored and with her, and they would be drawn to the Bender establishment, which was not, as we will find out, a good thing. She also became well-known in the region as a psychic medium who could contact spirits of the dead and even cure sicknesses and maladies for a generous donation.
Yeah.
Like blue balls, I'm sure she
would hear that out.
For yeah. like $20.
That's a lot of gold back in those
days. You're not kidding. Kate appeared in a number of small Kansas towns with her spiritualist show. So she went by the name of Professor Miss Kate Bender.
Professor?
Yeah, Miss. Professor Miss Kate Bender.
Well, that's
she apparently had a doctorate from somewhere.
That seemed a little pretentious to me.
She gave public seances and entertained crowds. She was very popular with the male members of the audience, as I mentioned. And some of these men traveled later on to the Bender's Hotel to see her again.
So they were groupies.
They, like the luckless travelers who passed through, were never seen again.
You don't give, Professor, you don't just give yourself an honorary title.
No, yeah. I don't think you can do that.
That's outrageous.
That's Colonel. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Who does that?
Who does
you
that?
Who does that? Asshats. That's who does it. So the Osage Trail was the only road open for travel at the time. Many weary cross-country travelers would buy provisions or stop for a meal, and sometimes they would bed down for a safe overnight stay. Feed was also provided for the travelers' horses, so they were, it was an all-around, it was like staying at a hojo.
Yeah. It was a one-stop shop.
Yeah. During this period,
it's actually a good business. It's a smart business.
It was all-inclusive.
Yeah, all-inclusive.
Lone travelers, mostly from the east.
You think they had to wear, like, wristbands when they stayed there to, you know, to show that they were...
Their level of service?
Yeah.
There was food and horses.
Yeah, or they get bread. Yeah, or...
Platinum. Gold platinum.
Yeah. They got wonder what kind of breakfast it was. You think it was...
Continental.
Continental, you think?
Sure.
Danishes.
Yeah.
I'd say strudel. These were German people.
You probably...
Maybe some strudel.
They never have enough strudel.
So, mainly, lone travelers from the east would just disappear along with their horses, wagons, and personal property. Many of these men, as they were going with the intentions of settling, buying machinery, cattle, and horses, frequently carried large sums of money with them.
Well, that makes sense.
Upon their persons.
Yeah, well, they're traveling to start a new life out west.
So this was like the Bermuda Triangle or the, the Midwest.
Yeah, it really was.
I guess you could call malls... hoo-ha that too. Yeah. I mean, after 12 kids, but things disappeared.
Many other would-be settlers traded horses as part payment for their claims. As most of the travelers were going to a new and faraway country or county to settle, it was an easy matter to cover their disappearance. Mail at the time was uncertain and infrequent, so if someone came up missing, it may take a while for anybody to know.
Yeah, they didn't have the Snapchat back then.
They did not.
Didn't have Tinder.
In May of 1871.
But if they did have Tinder, Kate had been on it, I bet.
So would Chuck in his shirt. Oh, that's Grindr. My bad. In May of 1871, the body of a man named Jones, who had his skull crushed in and throat cut, was discovered.
What was his first and last name? I mean, middle name.
Davy.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't, right?
Yeah. He was discovered in nearby Drum Creek. The owner of the Drum Creek claim where the body was found was suspected, but no action was taken. In February 1872, the bodies of two men were found who had the same injury as Jones. Maybe it was Mitha Jones.
Mitha Jones! By
1873, reports of missing people who'd passed through the area had become so common that travelers began to avoid the trail. The area was already widely known... for its horse thieves and villains, and vigilance committees often arrested some for the disappearances, only for them to be later be released by the authorities. So they had a neighborhood watch, overstep their bounds, and then the cops would let them go.
Yeah, I wonder, you know who they needed there is that guy down in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
The guy gets arrested like every other week.
Yeah, George Zimmerman.
Yeah, yeah, they needed him out.
Many honest men under suspicion were also run out of the country by these committees.
So, something is afoot out there on the Great Plains.
Oh, there's shenanigans afoot.
Yeah, there's shenanigans.
At least 10 people disappeared in the area, although it's believed to be the number is believed to be as high as 21. The victims included Joe Sowers. He was found with a crushed skull and cut throat. But he's not believed to be a Bender victim, so I don't know why he's included on here.
Say that you remember him. This motherfucker's been dead 150 years, and we're talking about him.
Mr. Jones, his body was...
God, found, I wish I could sing that.
His body was found in Drum Creek.
Mr. Jones. He had a terrible list, the man did.
I know, it's awesome. Let's see, two unidentified men found on the prairie in February of 1872 with crushed skulls and throats cut. Ben Brown from Howard County, Kansas... was missing $2,600,
which... That's a lot of green back in the day.
$46,000 in 2009 prices. So who gives a shit? Because it's not 2009. I don't know why we don't have updated information. That's on our research department. But he was missing.
Yeah.
And they found him buried in the apple orchard.
Why is that funny?
W.F. McCrotty.
Johnny Appleseed found him.
Johnny F. McCrotty.
That would be
Johnny. W.F. McCrotty. Let's see. He was Company D, 123rd Infantry.
So he was a veteran.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
But the thanks he got for his service was he had 38 bucks stolen, and his wagon and team of horses were missing. Let's see. Henry McKenzie.
Should have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
He really should have. Henry McKenzie.
They didn't leave the light on for you.
He was relocating to Independence from Hamilton County, Indiana.
Oh.
He was missing $36. Well, I guess he's dead, too. $36 and a matched team of horses.
Yeah, the 30 bucks is probably the least of their concern because they...
Johnny Boyle from Howard County, Kansas, was missing $10, a pacing mare, and an $850 saddle. He was found in the Bender's Well. There you go.
There's always a baby.
You know, and you know what he said? I ain't got nothing to do with that.
Don't look at me.
I have nothing to do with that.
I ain't throwing no baby down the well.
That's right.
Stay away from that water.
Yeah, it's got a weird taste. that would be their drinking water.
Eliza.
Eliza
Lamb, the one in that girl that disappeared in that hotel. If they found her in the water tank. Yeah, they had to drink out of that water for.
Oh, that'd be washing the water up in Flint, Michigan.
Gross.
Yeah.
Let's see, George Launcher and his daughter. She was either 8 years old or 18 months old, but more likely she was the younger. They were dead, missing $1,900. They were buried together in the apple orchard.
What are these people doing carrying this cash around?
They're going to settle somewhere.
Donald Trump moving west? I know.
They're going to settle.
$1,900?
That's
like
all they had.
That's like the Colonel Wad.
They're starting, they're moving out west to settle the land.
They have to buy lumber.
Yeah, well, they have to buy supplies. They have to buy flour.
Now, I'd be chopping people up and killing them, too, taking them money.
In 2009, that $1,900 was worth $33,000.
Yeah.
In 2009. I don't know what it is now, because that's not the research that was done.
But you would.
You know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
What, you feel free to do the research on these things.
No, we need to talk to our research department.
Where is it? Get them on the phone.
Right.
Get them on the phone.
Dr. William York went missing with $2,000. He was buried in the apple orchard.
Yeah, he's the one that becomes, when he disappears, they raise some eyebrows.
John Greery was buried in the apple orchard. They found a couple, a male and a female, buried in the apple orchard. Various and assorted body parts that didn't belong to any of the victims that they found. Just a random leg or foot or whatever.
Oh, that's just messed up when you just find the body parts laying around. Because you don't get to keep them. It ain't finders keepers on body parts.
It's not. Why would you want to?
If you find a leg, it ain't really a crime to say, you know.
But it is if you eat it. See how, Jeff?
That's messed up.
That's messed up, man.
This is a mess.
In 1873, during the search in 1873, they found the bodies of four unidentified males. They were found in Drum Creek and the surrounding areas. All four had crushed skulls and cut throats. One might be Jack Bogart, whose horse was purchased from a friend of the Benders after he went missing in 1872.
And he's a great-grandpa of.
Humphrey
Bogart.
Yeah. That's not true.
Here looking at you, horse.
Yeah, that's not true. But anywho, in the winter of 1872, following the funeral of his wife, George Launcher and his daughter left Independence to settle in Iowa, but were never seen again. What the hell? I did all these. Let's see. In 1873, a neighbor, Dr. William York, went looking for them, questioning homesteads along the trail. He reached Fort Scott and on March 9th began the return journey to Independence, but never arrived home. Dr. York had two brothers. Colonel Ed York, you know him, Colonel?
He's not a real colonel. Does he come to the colonel meetings?
Hmm? Does he come to the colonel meetings?
No, he's one of those bogus colonels.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Yeah, I hate those.
He's not a real colonel.
Eddie York, yay tall.
Yeah.
Dark hair,
okay.
Lazy eye.
Little funny hat.
Mm-hmm.
Little bow tie.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was living in Fort Scott, and Kansas Senator Alexander York, who lived in Independence.
And then Alvin York.
No, but we need to do a podcast on him at some point.
We did.
No, we didn't.
Both of them knew about the doctor's travel plans, and when he failed to return home, an all-out search began for the missing gentleman. Colonel York, leading a company of 50 men, questioned every traveler along the trail and visited all area homesteads. On March 28, 1873, Colonel York arrived at the Bender Inn with a Mr. Johnson.
I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Johnson. I've seen plenty of those in her day. You got to believe that.
Yeah. Explained to the Benders that his brother had gone missing and asked if they'd seen him. They admitted that Dr. York had stayed with them and suggested the possibility that maybe he'd run into some trouble with some Native Americans after leaving. Because, you know, that's always where the trouble is.
Well, maybe.
Well. You give them the fire water, you know you're going to have problems with them. I mean, you just
can't. Well, you know, they're playing into the prejudices and stuff at the time. You could, you know.
So on April 3rd, Colonel York went back to the inn with armed men after being informed that a woman had fled from the inn after being threatened with knives by Ma Bender.
She-devil.
Mm-hmm. Brandy Bender.
Ma allegedly could not understand English. While the younger Benders denied the claims, When York repeated the claim, Ma became enraged and said the woman was a witch who'd cursed her coffee, bitch, and ordered the men to leave the house.
So she's put a hex on her Folgers.
Yeah. Her taster's choice was not
Starbucks.
Yeah.
Or latte.
Does this Sanka taste right to you? This Sanka tastes a little flat to me.
God. My karma mocha. Just what, a little
do,
evil.
Do they even sell Sanka anymore?
A little evil. Tastes bitter.
Do they sell Sanka? Because I know your people used to drink Sanka.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
No, we don't drink Sanka.
The Sanka's the without the caffeine.
We don't drink coffee.
You can drink the. You can't have the caffeine in.
I understand. Don't tell me about my own fucking religion.
Why do I know more about your damn cult than you do?
Don't tell me about my own fucking religion.
That's not a religion.
We don't drink coffee. We don't drink coffee.
You don't even believe in Jesus, you bunch of heathen.
Shut your dick sucker for just a minute. So, anywho.
Yes.
Do you take communion?
Let's see. Yes. So the woman was witched. Okay. So then, she went batshit crazy when they accused her, and she revealed for the first time that her sense of the English language was much better than they had thought.
Yeah, she could speak English fluently.
Clearly. Before Kate left...
Unlike most of the women Timmy has dated in the last 5 years.
Before York left, because they didn't have the little phone that would translate for you. Before York left, Kate asked him to return alone the following Friday, and she would use her clairvoyant abilities to help him find his brother.
That's nice of her.
That was nice of her.
Friggin' Sylvia Brown. This Cleo here is going to tell him how to find their shit.
Whatever happened to Miss Cleo?
I don't know. She's probably back working at the Wendy's.
She should be on Dancing with the Stars sometime.
She should. What happened to Dionne Warwick? Is she dead?
She dead.
Is she?
I
don't think she is dead.
She dead to me.
After she went off Solid Gold, what else has she done?
She hasn't called Charles in a while, so he won't have that to do with her.
Let's see. The men with York were convinced that the Benders and a neighboring family, the Roaches. What the hell?
The Roaches?
Yes.
Deanna Warwick is alive and well.
Told you. Dionne.
Is 75 years old, living in East Orange, New Jersey.
Yep. Let's see. They were guilty and wanted to hang them all, but York insisted that evidence must be found.
Yeah, they should have went with hanging.
Around the same time, neighboring communities began to make accusations that the Osage community was responsible for the disappearance, and a meeting was arranged by the township in the Harmony Grove Schoolhouse. The meeting was attended by 75 locals, including Colonel York and both Ma and Pa Bender. Mm. No, lies. Not Ma and Pa. Pa and John. I'm sorry.
Deanna Warwick's real first name is Marie.
I can see how you change it. After discussing the disappearances...
Ma was out back harvesting horn.
Probably, Jesus. Including that of William York, who was a prominent doctor for whom a search had recently been completed, it was agreed that a search warrant would be obtained to search every homestead between Big Hill Creek and Drum Creek. And if you know that area at all, you know that's quite a swath of land.
That's a lot of territory.
It's a lot of land to cover. It's a big area to cover. I wonder what they used for sanitation, or their sanitary napkins back in those days.
I believe they used calf skin.
Despite York's strong...
The calf really got pissed off the calf.
Yeah.
That's good meat. Now, despite York's strong suspicions regarding the Bender since his visit several weeks earlier, no one had watched them, and it was not noticed for several days that they had fled.
Yeah, they found their...
Tell me more, Chuck.
They found their livestock. They were starved. Their cattle and stuff they had on their farm, there was malnourished. And they didn't know, they couldn't figure out why they were... So sickly looking, but it's because they flew the coop.
Would you like me to tell that part, or would you?
Please, you want to continue?
Sir.
No, I'm just.
Okay.
I'm
he's just recapping.
I'm segueing into.
You're segueing.
He's recapping stuff.
3 days after the meeting, the neighbor there, Billy Toll, he's driving his cows past.
His formal name is William, but they call him Billy.
They call him Billy. He's going past the bender over, and he notices it there. Animals are in starving condition, as Timmy said.
Yeah, I heard that somewhere.
They're in disrepair.
Now, upon further investigation, he found the inn was abandoned.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So he reported the news to a random woman.
Random woman?
Knowing that the news would spread quickly.
Oh, so he just found somebody to gossip with.
Well, he just told a woman. You wanted to get the word out. Tell a woman.
Telegraph, telephone, tell a woman.
Tell a woman. So anyway, mm-hmm. a couple days go by, and because of foul weather, and on my thing here, it is F-O-W-L.
Yes. Were chickens coming from the sky? Because I hate that shit.
It was raining chickens and hens.
Oh, my God. I hate that shit.
Oh, my God.
It's so messy.
Sing a song, Colonel.
It's so messy. They come out, and then when they land on your windshield,
oh,
and
then you got to hit the
windshield wipers.
I swear to God, I thought those things could fly.
Yes. But those, yeah. No, they cannot fly. It's a bad scene.
So, anyway.
Oh, the humanity.
Because of foul weather.
Sound like it's raining men.
They was trying to. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm trying to stay professional here.
Why?
Yeah, that's okay.
For once.
I'll edit you out later.
We don't do no editing. You're too lazy to edit.
I'll just do the ending of it. You won't even have a part in this thing.
Dude, he hasn't edited anything since Nom. He's getting ready to edit you out.
He certainly didn't edit this on, bitch.
No, there was no proofreading here.
So anyway, several days elapsed because of foul weather before a search party directed by... Hold on. They're directed by Leroy Dick.
Hate that guy.
Oh, he's a big douche nozzle.
You know what? But I bet he knows better than to go out in foul weather. Feathers and shit all over the place. Oh,
porn star.
Talons everywhere.
Yeah.
He had to be one of the early porn stars with that name.
Oh, he was one of the, when they did the silent porn movies.
No, it wasn't, yeah, it was like one of those things where the cards you just flip them all around.
It was a flip book.
Pictures, yeah.
You know, anything to get us off ripping on your foul word there.
Exactly.
Well, he gets a whole posse together.
A posse. A what?
A posse.
Did I spell that right?
I made that up because I'm condensing here. Now, they descended upon the Bender property and found the place deserted, and the Bender's food, clothing, and possessions greatly disturbed or removed.
See how the energy he puts into it? You should try that.
Now, upon entering
he's a spell check.
He's a true thespian.
Lesbian.
Well, thank you.
In that shirt? Yes, he is.
Now, upon entering the cabin...
Try spell check.
Mr. Dick...
Chuck's picture of Chuck's shirt is posted on the History Dweeb podcast Facebook page. So let us know if you think it's a lesbian shirt, because we're certain it is.
It's offensive to lesbians. If I was a lesbian, I'd be pissed about that.
This is an important part here.
All right.
Pay attention.
I am.
Upon entering the cabin...
Should we recap where
Mr. Leroy Dick... was met by a sickening stench.
Ew.
And Ma was sitting on the couch with her legs open.
No, that's not true.
Okay, that's not true. There was a trap door, though, and it was nailed shut.
Yeah.
It was discovered at the floor of the cabin because if you're going to have a trap door, you can't put the sumbitch in the ceiling.
No, that's poor planning.
Yeah, so they pried it open. And lifted it by its leather hinges, and it was learned that it covered a hole or cellar that was filled with clotted blood, which produced this horrid odor.
So to recap,
it smelled like ass in the house.
There's a stench in the floor.
It's they had to see.
So they opened
floor.
The. So he smelled something. He went in the house. He smelled something, and so then he opened the trap door in the floor. And there was blood in it, and it's coagulated and grody.
And it was nasty.
And I don't know about you, Colonel, but if there's blood in it, I get it.
I don't want it.
Have you ever experienced an intimate moment with a woman?
No, he has not.
Not really.
Clearly.
I mean, let's say you're
I don't pay for the girlfriend experience.
let's say you're having an intimate moment with a woman, and you're going to pleasure her. You're going to pleasure her, theoretically.
Pleasure her.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah. Pleasure her. That's
he said
a good
theoretically.
One.
Okay. Okay, so you're kissing her, and you're going Ooh. Down in the nether regions.
Okay.
Ooh, not the nether naughty.
And all of a sudden, you taste blood. What would you do in that circumstance?
Well, I guess in that circumstance, I would check and see if she had hit me over the top of the head with something, and the blood was running down my forehead into my mouth.
And what if it wasn't?
Well, that would depend.
I mean, do you stop?
Well, that would be rude.
You never stop.
That would be rude, I think.
I think it'd be rude, too.
I believe it would be rude. Yeah.
So you continue on.
I think you must continue on.
I think he's a trooper.
I mean, I don't believe that it would. There's any other thing to do in that situation. Yeah, it's one of those things you just pretend it's not happening at the time to me.
Yeah.
You just,
I pretend that a lot during these podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, you just put your mind somewhere else.
All right.
Really, Pot? Go. Really?
Let's move on, Colonel. Back to the Bloody Benders.
So they don't know what the hell to do with this. So in desperation, the cabin was completely lifted and moved aside.
Why didn't they call Roto-Rooter?
A search was made under the house, but nothing was found.
Well, it was a waste of time, wasn't it?
That was a big waste.
Moved that cabin for no reason at all.
Now, the search was about to be called off when Dr. William York's brother, Colonel Ed York, bunch of colonels here,
yeah,
sitting in his buggy, saw against the setting sun. Now, you got to picture this. The sun setting.
In the west. So recap, it sets in the west.
So, to recap, the sun is going down.
Going in the west.
So, along about 6, 7 o'clock at night, maybe?
That depends on time of year, I suppose.
It really would. Just recapping that. And this is the Colonel York.
Colonel York, yeah. Mm-hmm.
After he was perhaps a corporal.
Right. He had been promoted.
Okay.
Now, it was nepotism. His brother was a colonel. He was just a corporal, but...
Well,
anyway,
there's a senator in there somewhere.
He was a veteran, so
he saw the outline of a strange depression.
Mm-hmm.
Silently, digging began. Not a word, nary a word said amongst the diggers.
They just started digging.
To recap,
and Dr. York's body was found buried head downward, his feet scarcely covered. Didn't even have the decency to dig a 3-foot grave for the man.
Well, they put him in. He put him down there head first.
Oh well, yeah, that's
they were
true.
In a hurry.
Wouldn't they just have a post? Put one of those post diggers.
Probably. They were in a hurry to get out of there.
Now, his skull had been bludgeoned from behind with a hammer, and his throat had been cut. Now, the next day, with spades, shovels, and plows, the search revealed 9 other bodies with smashed skulls, slit throats, and dismembered parts of other bodies. One man and his little daughter were found buried together in a grave.
That's the one you said was 18 months
old. Yep, 18 months old.
That's disgusting.
These some nasty son bitches right here.
Yeah.
Steal your money, cut your throats. Well, it's pretty much like, and it's really
and you only get a continental breakfast.
It's where the term Hell's Half Acre originated to me.
That term Hell's
Half Acre. Uh-huh. So now another one of Dr. York's brothers, Alexander, he was a lawyer and state senator.
Okay.
Didn't you just call that one devil?
Yes.
Residing in Independence, offered a $1,000 reward for information leading to the ghastly family's arrest.
Snitches get britches.
So what happened next?
Now, on May 17th, Governor Thomas Osborne put up a $2,000 reward
for
apprehension.
So now we're up to $3,000 for these. What's a lot of money back in the day?
He wanted them on all fours.
No, it didn't say that.
Oh, no. It says the apprehension of all four. Never mind. No one ever stepped forward to collect a reward offer. Now, the method of killings here.
Yeah. Let's talk about how did they kill these
people? How did they kill them? And primarily, what you didn't want to do is stop in and get a bite to eat with the Benders.
No.
Because the danger of dining with the Benders came while being seated, you had your back to that canvas wall that they had, you know, dividing everything.
Oh, that's right.
And
what was that movie that Clark Gable was in where it happened one night? Remember, they put the bed sheet between the bed? So it was kind of like that.
It was kind of like that. They did not realize what they was getting for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And often that was just a big hole in the back of their head.
Because what happened, Colonel?
Well, Kate would place her spiritualist clients with their backs to the curtain. In the darkest room, she made all kinds of strange manifestations of
this. Is Kate doing her spiel, her spiritual?
Yeah, this is usually.
It's Holcomb.
Yeah, Ma in the back with a candle. You know how you make the little rabbit things on the wall?
Yeah, they make it.
That's what they were
shadow
doing.
Puppets.
Yeah.
It's Holcomb. It's all Holcomb. It looks like a rabbit. Oh, a dog.
They would keep this sitter transfixed in place for an extended period of time, primarily because Kate was showing her boobs. However, some of them became unnerved. They didn't like to have their back to the canvas wall. One man got so scared he insisted on being moved to another seat. Kate became so angry that she put him out.
He was just scared of boobs.
Well, finally, though, after hearing what he believed to other what he believed were otherworldly whispers on the other side of the sheet, this man jumped up and ran from the inn. But many travelers were not so discerning.
That's where the term getting out of Dodge came from.
Well, I think this would...
I don't know that that's true.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's true.
I just threw that out.
Well, yeah. Anyway, if a diner, overnight guest, or seance participant appeared to be wealthy, he was given a seat of honor with his back to the curtain. That was considered a seat of honor.
Yeah.
And then Kate would come up and rub her boobs on him like the devil does.
Dude, I think that... What?
You do that to people. I've seen you do it before.
First of all, there was boob rubbing.
There had to be boob rubbing.
No, you've never seen me do that.
You've done it to me a couple times.
You've never seen me do that.
Continue.
Well, anyway. Anyway.
Lies.
Kate distracts them. Now, how do you think she's got them distracted?
Well, by the seance and all that.
And the boobs.
Well, maybe.
Well, while she distracts him, old man Bender,
or 70 Bush,
the slow-witted son, would sneak up to the curtain with a sledgehammer and strike a savage blow right on the top of the man's head.
Sledgehammer. Peter Gabriel.
And then one of the women...
I did not like that video.
The video was creepy.
One of the women would jump up and slit the man's throat.
Yeah, sometimes it was Maul, sometimes it was Kate.
Yeah,
it's
depends.
A family affair.
It really it just... whoever had called dibs that night.
Yeah.
Tips.
So the body was then dragged back beneath the canvas and stripped.
Mm-hmm.
Dibs is sacred.
A trap door that led to an earthen cellar was opened, and the body was dumped below it until it could be buried somewhere on the prairie.
What was that? That was, what's the play where the guy would do that? He owned a barber shop. And,
oh, Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, yeah.
Exactly. And they would have a trap door. So it's just like
what you're saying. And of course, you know, they like to bury people in Apple Orchard. Now, this worked for well. This system worked for about a year and a half now. Kate drew a number of victims to the door to office of offers of spirit communication, and her brother often accosted travelers on nearby roads. He would strike up a conversation with them and convince them that spending the night at the inn was preferable to journeying on.
Well, they got the free breakfast.
Yeah. Little
good
did they know.
A little breakfast to get them every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some Rice Krispies and a Danish.
Yeah.
Why are you ragging on Rice Krispies and a Danish?
I'm just saying.
That's a breakfast of champions, right?
Blow to the head and a little bit of sodomy, and you got the whole night covered. But
the Benders became
America's first recorded mass or serial killers when the 10 bodies were recovered at the inn.
It's 1873.
Yeah, many people believe they killed over 21 people. That's an arbitrary number, so where'd they come up with that?
Of course, they found a lot of bones that they
could have. He made it up.
No, it did not. It's available in the research.
But they couldn't have said over 20 people? Like over 21 people?
Well, they think they were between 10 and 21 people based upon the number of remains that they found on the property. It could have been a lot more. They just didn't find everyone. We don't know what happened to them.
Well, when they fled, they left a legendary trail, rumors, half-truth stories, and eyewitness accounts about their demise behind them. A number of posses claimed to have found the family and killed them.
Did it.
One posse of citizens stated they caught the Benders while escaping to the south, lynched them, then threw their disembodied bodies into the...
You can never trust a posse.
No.
You learned that the hard way, didn't you?
The river has never given up their bodies. Now another vengeful posse...
I hate a vengeful posse.
Ma had a vengeful posse.
I'm telling you why. You've never dealt with drama until you've had a vengeful posse.
Yeah.
And I've had vengeful posse in my day. I can tell you that.
And, you know,
God,
the angry sex thing is okay.
Yeah.
But the vengeful posse?
Yeah, that's
can't
a whole.
Can't go that far. That's a
no.
Yeah.
You know, I like dating women with personality disorders because they're a lot of fun.
Most of our listeners are a lot of fun. They got personality disorders.
Well, you know, they're a lot of fun for a couple of weeks, a few weeks,
mm-hmm.
and then they're just batshit crazy.
In the beginning, it's just amusing to them, to you.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah.
Here's the pattern that you never seem to understand that me and the devil over here have figured out.
Yeah.
They're completely batshit crazy in the beginning. You just grow weary of that batshit craziness after about 3 weeks.
Well,
it ain't that they become crazy after 3 weeks.
They're a lot more fun the first few weeks.
I'm sure.
And then they get the vengeful posse.
Then they develop the vengeful posse, and The thing got teeth and everything else in it.
Please continue, Colonel.
Well, the vengeful posse said they killed him during a gunfight and just buried him on the prairie. Another posse said there's posses everywhere. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a posse. And if you hit Maul's posse, that cat just goes in.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that there's plenty of posse.
There's posse everywhere.
For everyone.
Yeah.
Posse a dime a dozen.
Well, a little more than that. But.
I haven't checked the market price of posse lately.
Believe me, it's more than that.
I do believe you.
I know it cost me a hell of a lot. But anyway, countless and fruitless trips were made by law enforcement officers to many towns to look at persons identified as offenders. There seemed to be no facts in these stories, and detectives discovered the offender's abandoned lumber wagon and tied up starving teams of horses. One of the mares all
lamed up. Why can't you just let the horses go? I mean, really, do you need to tie them up?
Clearly, they're crazy.
Yeah, they found those. Those detectives attempted to follow the offenders and became satisfied with these following facts. A passenger train conductor, Captain James B. Ransom,
Kirk,
on the Leavenworth, Lawrence, and Galveston Railroad, verified the descriptions of the family, said they bought tickets for a northbound train to Humboldt.
I'm on Tinder trying to find some vengeful posse.
I'm sure.
At Chanute, John Halfwit Jr. and Kate detrained and took the MK&T train south to the Red River country of Texas, which was then the terminus of the railroad. Terminus means
I wonder what happened. It just like ended there?
Doesn't that say lumberjack right there?
Doesn't it just... I mean, the track just ended? I mean, it seemed like it should have a station or something.
Terminus.
Terminus. Right. It means it ends.
I know, but they, I mean,
it seems on the Walking Dead.
It seems disappointing, is all I'm saying. Latin. Get some Gandhi dancers out there and connect the thing.
Yeah. Well, from there, the young benders traveled to an outlaw colony considered either in Texas or New Mexico. Everyone considered this area the toughest, most lawless region in the United States.
Yeah, Oklahoma Territory.
Now, yeah. My great-great-great-granddaddy, Wyatt Earp, was the sheriff in that place. He couldn't handle it. The colonel great-great-great-great-granddaddy went down there and cleaned it up.
Good for him.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did he have a vengeful posse?
He had a big posse. He had a large posse.
Yeah.
Speak softly and carry a large posse. That's what he said.
Yeah. That's where that saying comes from.
Yeah.
But Ma and Paul, they never got off the train at Humboldt, and went all the way to Kansas City. It is believed that they purchased tickets and went on to St. Louis. Now, many tales could be dismissed as self-serving speculation and sensationalism. But still, their flight would become the grist for detective stories and rumors well into the 20th century. Their story remains one of the greatest unsolved mysteries of the Old West. Further investigation revealed that the only relationship between the four was Ma and Kate, who were actually mother and daughter and engaged in a torrid lesbian relationship.
No, that did not happen, only in your mind.
Okay, but it makes a better story.
It does.
Okay, there wasn't. There could have been.
Yeah, so what else, Colonel?
Well, Ma chose to go with the name of her first husband, the father of her 12 children. Man, she was spitting these things out like watermelon seed. I mean, she get a baby. She didn't need a nursemaid. She need a catcher. She need a goalie thing shooting out of that thing so quick. Like somebody catch the baby.
A vengeful posse?
That vengeful posse.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the true fate of America's first serial killers remains unknown. It's a mystery.
They live in Vegas.
Three of the Bender Hammers, remaining artifacts from the Bloody Beaver Inn.
What?
Bloody Bender Inn. Bender Over Inn. Mm-hmm. Were gifted to the Cherryvale Museum by the Dick family in 1967.
You can see them out there today. Out in Kansas.
Now, famed author Laura Ingalls Wilder of Little House on the Prairie fame.
Remember, evidently, she's a liar.
You remember Little House on the Prairie?
Mm-hmm.
I do, thank you.
Right. She claimed in 1937 that her family nearly became the victims of the Bloody Benders. According to her, her family were planning to stay over at the Benders in 1871, but decided against it.
Lies. This was Laura Ingalls. Laura
Wilder described the family in much detail, and she said, now others argue this claim could not be true because the dates don't match up, and Wilder would have only been 4 years old at the time. And I'm going to tell you this about young Miss Laura Ingalls Wilder.
She's a liar.
Well, first of all, Michael Landon. You got Michael Landon,
mm-hmm.
and he has a perm. So.
I'll tell you, the mom was hot, though, in that show.
What?
I like that little snotty. The little
Nelly?
Yeah, I like Nelly. Yeah.
First of all, to both of you, that's so nasty.
Oh, no, I bang Nelly.
Second of all, it was the 70s. Everybody had a perm.
Yeah, she
You ain't even got to lie. You know, he had a perm.
I didn't have a perm.
I didn't have a perm.
Everybody had a perm.
Okay, this is what I didn't like about Little House on the Prairie.
What?
It was historically inaccurate. It was rampantly historically.
You never
inaccurate.
Saw them use the bathroom.
Oh, a fucking deli one time come in with a Happy Meal. I mean, they didn't have the McDonald's back in the 1870s on the prairie.
He's right, though. They didn't have McDonald's in
1870s. That's true.
Yeah.
But to recap, you've never actually watched Little House on the Prairie, have you?
I've seen the commercials.
There you go, then.
And
I don't think you should rip on Michael Landon.
They called him Paul all the time, too.
I didn't like him in Bonanza.
I thought Laura
Little
Ingalls.
Jill.
No, I didn't like Laura. I like Ben, or the guy, the big fat guy.
I like Hoss.
Hoss.
I thought Laura Ingalls on that show was a whiny snot.
She was, but then, you know
But
what?
Her sister became blind.
Her sister went blind. You know what? And she was cute.
Yeah,
I always wanted to feel her essence.
So the main
was
person,
her name
though,
was
she
Becky?
Was whiny.
No, it wasn't Becky. Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. But anyway, Colonel. So we don't know that there is some skepticism about that claim that Laura Ingalls Wilder was actually.
There's some skepticism that Laura Ingalls Wilder even lived on the prairie.
No.
A lot of people think she was just Canadian and made that shit up.
She lived in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Okay.
She had a Jewish accent, New York, a big, thick Jewish New York accent.
Brandy.
To the prairie, no?
Brandy, any final thoughts? That's the worst New York accent I've ever heard.
It was so bad.
Any final thoughts on the Bloody Benders, America's first serial killer?
I think they live in Vegas with Elvis and Tupac.
And, Colonel, any final thoughts on the Bloody Benders?
You know, they say the crime don't pay, but apparently it does, Timmy.
They got away, didn't they?
They got away. They took all the money.
And they got away with the vengeful posse.
They took the money and ran.
You know what they did? They said, come on, take the money and run.
No singing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that'll do it for this episode of History Dweeps.
So
forgot what show we were doing for a minute.
Could you do so many?
Brandy, where can people find us?
Find us on the Stitcher. And iTunes.
iTunes. Please
YouTube?
Leave us a review.
YouTube.
A nice review. Yeah. Not a shitty review like the last one we got.
Somebody left us a shitty review on
Facebook.
Bad. Facebook. We have two Facebook pages. We have the History Dweebs, the regular History Dweebs page, where we post historical information. And then we have History Dweebs, the podcast, where a bunch of fun people are at, and we shoot the breeze.
That's where all the cool kids go.
It is. So please join
Some bitch left us a bad review on iTunes.
I don't remember.
Did they leave a name?
Well, you know, it's always a...
Dottie Scott.
It's all anonymous.
Dottie Scott.
No, you know what?
She loves the show.
Got me so discombobulated.
You forgot
Dottie
to give her
Scott.
A shout out.
No, I saved it to the end of the show to
you
give
forgot.
Dottie a special shout out.
You forgot. Second time this week.
Dottie, we thinking about you all the time. If it weren't for Dottie, would we even be doing the show?
Probably not.
Because
I would still be doing it.
Timmy's got like 38 degrees. But Dottie never really thought he amounted to anything until he started doing the podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. She says she'd never been famous before. Now she's famous.
She is famous.
You made her famous.
People putting on people, you know, people get all excited. They get an invitation to be Facebook friends with Dottie Scott.
Yeah. She's a mythical character. Okay. So let's wrap this up.
She's mythical. She's real.
She's as real.
Let's wrap this up.
She was mythical. You know what? She's mythical to you because you can't kill her.
I don't think you visit her enough.
Can we wrap this up? Sure. Please join us.
You just want to go home.
I do. It's late. It's Friday. We'll get to the Scottsboro boys on our next episode. But until then, join us on the Facebook group page. It's History Dweebs, the podcast. It's a group. Join us there. It's a lot of fun and merriment. Would you not agree that there's a lot of fun?
Much merriment.
Yeah, much merriment.
Merriment and
there's some vengeful posse there. But mostly merriment.
You're the one that's wanting to wrap this up, and yet you keep on yammering.
Yeah, we'll see y'all next time on History.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.